Every day, families with critically ill children face the unthinkable, being far from home while their child receives life-saving medical care. Ronald McDonald House Charities Bay Area steps in to ease this burden, providing no-cost housing, free meals, and comprehensive support services to families whose children are being treated at the Bay Area's leading children's hospitals, including Lucile Packard Children's Hospital Stanford and UCSF Benioff Children's Hospitals in San Francisco and Oakland. But we can't do it alone. Your support, through donations or volunteering, helps families stay close to each other and the expert care they need. Visit rmhcbayarea.org to learn how you can make a lasting impact.
Eklund with a shot. He scores! William Eklund caps an astounding comeback. The Sharks win it!
You're listening to Morning Tide on the Sharks Audio Network. Now, here's your host, Ted Ramey.
To the Sharks blue line. A couple of weird deflections knocked aside by Romanov. Left it behind the net for Vlasic. Feeds up left side for Kostin. Loses on the check. Ovechkin put it off a stick. Back to Ovechkin. Tip score! The great eight has tallied at SAP Center at San Jose with career goal number 887. 5-1 Washington, and the crowd shows its respect.
Yeah, I mean, we've done that all year. It doesn't surprise me whatsoever with our group. And it has nothing to do with scrapping. It's we when we are off to a slow start, or we usually find a way to get back on the rails there and start competing a little bit harder. So, obviously the first wasn't good enough, and the second and third, I thought we got it going a little bit more. But they're a really good hockey team over there, and we saw that firsthand tonight.
All right, good morning, everyone. How are we all doing? It is a Sunday in the middle of March, and the San Jose Sharks are coming off a loss to a much better opponent, and that was my number one takeaway from what I saw yesterday. The Washington Capitals, to no one's surprise, are once again one of the better to best teams in the NHL right now. They are playing some rather great hockey, and I didn't walk into yesterday's game expecting the Sharks to win nor lose. I expected them to put up a good fight, and I thought that the way they started the game, it was just not good enough. To fall behind 1-2-3-0 against an opponent like that, you're not going to be able to work your way back into the game. You're not going to be able to mount a comeback. You might be able to stop the bleeding, which I felt they did at points. But eventually, you are going to succumb if you do not match them step for step, blow for blow, and most importantly, talent for talent. Now, even if you have, all of the great players on your team performing at their best, at this point in time, it's still not going to equate to the talent that is on that Washington Capitals team right now. Now, we talk about what that team is later on in the year or later on in their timelines. Maybe the narrative will be different. I don't know. We don't know what Macklin Celebrini and Will Smith and William Eklund, et cetera, are all going to develop into when we talk about them in a decade's time. I hope that it's great players, but we don't know. But when we talk about the Washington Capitals, we do know right now. We do know they are a great team. We do know they're first in the Metropolitan Division. We do know that they have 96 points on the season. We do know that they are just a very, very high caliber, high quality team that no one should be doubting right now. Winnipeg right there with 96 points as well. They're by the record, they're one of the best teams in the NHL, and that cannot be overlooked. But what I do look at when I'm watching the San Jose Sharks right now is more of the idea of what they want to build themselves into, more of what they want to be in the future. And I think just by watching some of the more physical players that are now on this team, some of the bigger guys, it's hard to ignore the idea of what Mike Greer wants this team to be, which is no shocker, big and fast and strong and physical, and not a team that you want to play against. You look at Desharnais, you look at Klim Kostin, you look at Shakir Mukhmudulin, you look at Ostapchuk, you look at Giles. Those are guys that are bringing speed and size and skill. And then you look at the guys who aren't as big but are higher up on the skill side. You got Colin Graf, who actually is growing more and more into his body. Will Smith, William Eklund. You've obviously got a guy like Macklin Celebrini, who's growing into his body as well. These guys, it's the balance, right? Like, you want to have a balance on all sides. You can't just go out there and go all in one direction. And Mike Greer said it in his press conference the other day that you can't win in the NHL with having just one type of player. You need a blend. You need a balance. And I understand everyone has the desire to be bigger, stronger, and faster, but that comes at an end. And I think it's finding the bigger, stronger, faster version of each type of player out there on the ice. And to watch Ostapchuk and see him, you know, getting in a brawl and watching him, you know, just kind of show what he can do out there, I think it's a good idea of more and more of what they're looking from in that type of a player. They wanted a big guy. They wanted somebody who's strong. They wanted somebody who's physical. And I just watch his ability and what we think it can be in, you know, so many years' time is to where you think to yourself, okay, that's what they want in that type of a player. And you watch a Shakir Mukhmudulin and the way that he's using his size and the way that he's using his long stick. And then you contrast that with what you get from Will Smith and Macklin Celebrini, who are still growing into their bodies and have a lot more room to grow. It's more and more the idea of having this blend of players, of presenting multiple problems on the ice at any given time. And if you do that, if you're constantly asking the opposition to answer too many questions, that's how you walk away with wins. Now, right at this point in time, the San Jose Sharks do not have the ability to answer all those questions. You look at, you know, the way this game started out, it was not a good start from San Jose. It was one of their worst first periods in quite some time. They were not able to match the intensity. They were not able to match what was being brought at them in the opposite direction. And that's something that you have to pay attention to. You have to be ready to match the opposition, even when they are a very, very good team like Washington. And I know we can say, well, yes, Washington has very, very much to play for. But, you know, these guys on the Sharks, a lot of them are playing for contracts, are playing to show off what they can do, you know, for another team potentially in the future and wanting to show the league what they can do. I think that's got to be taken into consideration when you look at all these players that are playing for San Jose right now. And I know it's a different type of motivation when you're not playing for the playoffs, when you're not playing for the Stanley Cup. But, you know, a guy like Noah Gregor, who clearly likes it here in San Jose and has friends on the team, he wants to go out there and show what he can do over the course of 60 minutes of hockey. And you're looking at Tim Liljegren, and you're looking at all these guys who want to show what they can do. Desharnais is another guy. Patrick Giles is another guy. They were all challenged by head coach Ryan Warsawski. You know, not these guys by name, but the entirety of the team was challenged to show that they want to be a part of the solution here for the future. And I think that should be motivation enough. Easy for me to say on the outside, but I do think that that is the right tact, the right angle to take to show me. You want to be here? You want a job? Show me. Show me that you can be part of this. Show me that you can be part of the solution. And I think that's a good way to look at it. I think that's the way that it has to be for these guys going into these late stages of the season to prove that they can be part of the solution, to prove that they can be part of the answers, to prove that they can be part of what the Sharks are trying to do before this season comes to a close. And, you know, at moments of yesterday's game, I liked it. You know, a guy puts a big hit on a young player. You want to go out there and show that you can be physical and have a response. Or if, you know, you have an opportunity to score to get yourselves back into the game late, you got to do that. You know, Macklin Celebrini, he continues to show just his overall ability. He becomes the third San Jose Shark in the franchise history to have a rookie 50-point season. And this is a guy who missed 12 games, obviously, early in the season due to that injury. But, you know, he is continuing to show us just what exactly he can bring in terms of intensity. But, you know, the Sharks really dug themselves in too big a hole. And, you know, to go down 1-0 early on, okay, you can understand that. But what happened in the final 3 minutes to give up the second and third goals where they could not possess the puck, where they could not control really any sort of possession, that was what bothered me about this game. And that was what really, you know, I thought to myself, they're not there yet. I mean, I'm not trying to bag on the Sharks or anything like this, but we have to look and be very realistic about the last win they were able to post. That was two games ago at home against Chicago, a team that they were barely able to get past despite Connor Bedard being out the last 10 minutes of the game and the Sharks being at home. The Chicago Blackhawks are the only team in the NHL that is within shouting distance of San Jose right now. They have 49 points to San Jose's 45. You look at other teams that are, you know, at the bottom of their divisions. You know, Buffalo has 58 points. Philadelphia has 64. Pittsburgh has 66. So do the Islanders. Bruins have 68. You know, and then you look at other teams in the Pacific Division. Nashville is even almost 10 beyond where the Blackhawks are at 58 points. And then you have Seattle with 62 and Anaheim with 65. So, yeah, this is Chicago and San Jose at the bottom. They're the teams the deepest in their rebuilds trying to build themselves back. And they have, you know, generational talents on their teams in which to do so. But I'm just saying, like, you look at the Sharks' last win. It was fight for your life at home against the team that's almost as bad as you are. And they also didn't have arguably their best player on the ice for the final 10 minutes of that game. You know, that doesn't bode well. Now, they were able to get the win at home, and I think that's something to pay attention to, but it also is very much indicative of a barometer of where the Sharks are right now. And that's to be expected. You're in year one of guys like Macklin Celebrini and Will Smith, and you're very early in the careers of Shakir Mukhmudulin and William Eklund, and you're figuring out what you have now in a guy like Ostapchuk, and you're figuring out what you have in a goalie of the future that we've seen who's dealing with injury, but Yaroslav Askarov. You were not supposed to be good this year. I don't think anyone's looking at this and saying, oh yeah, this team was supposed to contend for a Stanley Cup. If you are, I love your enthusiasm. I just don't think I'm on the same page as you. But you know, you wanted this team to take greater steps forward this year in terms of wins and losses. They didn't. Okay, so what did Mike Greer do at that point? He made hard moves at the deadline to trade guys away and acquire more options and give himself more potential in terms of what he can do going forward, just like he's trying to do in how he situates his team. You know, he's giving himself more options in terms of what the team can be tactically, what they can be in terms of their identity, by having players of different sizes and different skill sets and different mentalities. It can't just be one type. It can't just be one mold. It can't just be one single skill set. You need what Macklin Celebrini brings, which is different than what Will Smith brings, which is different than what Ostapchuk brings, which is different than what William Eklund brings, which is different than what, you know, and on and on and on. You look at what these guys can bring to the table. The only thing that you want to replicate in terms of what you have as a team would be another goalie like Yaroslav Askarov. You know, that's a different type of skill set to where you think to yourself, okay, I just need a guy who can stop the critical pucks in the critical moments. And that was unfortunate about Georgiev yesterday because he was not the man responsible for those early goals. And obviously Ryan Warsawski made a switch to try and energize his team. And I will note that they, while not being particularly energized, they did play a little bit better throughout the second period and got themselves back into it to an extent with that goal from Macklin Celebrini early in the third period. But I could also make a counter argument that says that Washington got up 3-0 in that game and didn't have to work quite as hard. They were in control of the game. And as soon as Macklin Celebrini scored, what happens? The shift after a goal. This has been a problem for the Sharks, at least in short term. They score a goal within the next 3 to 5 minutes. They're giving up another goal. Happened again. They concede as Van Riemsdyk makes it a 4-1 game. And then a few minutes after that, Alex Ovechkin makes it a 5-1 game. So, you know, the Caps, 3 early goals, take control of the game in the first period. Sharks fight back and don't let the bleeding get any worse. They get a goal early in the third, and then you have more of that pushback from Washington. It's like, okay, you're going to get yourself back into this game. We're going to push back ourselves and find a way to take control of this game. So again, that's what you expect from Washington. They're a very, very good team who knows how to handle the flow of a game. The Sharks are not there yet. And again, we keep on coming back to these realities throughout the year. As much as we want the Sharks to be able to build from one win to the next, that has been in limited capacity all year long, and whether or not it's been when they had their full roster or what they have right now, it has not been part of their narrative. And that's just why Mike Greer is making all these changes and trying to situate the team differently for the future. It's why he felt he had to make hard decisions like trading Mackenzie Blackwood, Mikhail Granlund, Cody Ceci, Nico Sturm, Luke Cunning. I mean, we go down the list of Fabian Zetterlund and Jake Walman. I mean, these are all guys who were character guys, who were good players, who were talented, but were not ultimately going to be part of the solution here in San Jose, at least not this year. There's always a chance some of these guys come back. I'm not putting it beyond anything. We've seen guys come back to the Sharks in the past. I have no reason to believe that these guys are angry at San Jose and do not want to be playing for the team. I think that Nico Sturm is one of those guys who, if he ends up back in San Jose, I would not be shocked in the slightest. But I do look at what the Sharks are and are not right now, and I think they've got a lot of spirit. I think they've got a lot of fight. I just think that the overall skill level on the team is not nearly where it needs to be to match a team consistently. And I know they've beaten some good teams this year. No one's going to deny that. But, you know, late in the year, when it's Washington trying to align themselves to have, you know, home ice advantage and be the team they want to be rolling into the playoffs, they're a well-oiled machine. The Sharks are not a well-oiled machine. They are pieced together right now. It is a moment of evaluation. Like, the Caps are version 5.0 and the Sharks are a beta. You know, they are not the finished product. They are still a long way off from being what they want to be, and this relative rebuild is still in its infancy. It's going to take time. It's going to take moments. It's going to take painful learning lessons, and hopefully the lesson out of yesterday's game, beyond looking at the talent of an Alex Ovechkin, of Tom Wilson, of so many of the players on that Caps team that you think to yourself, wow, there's a reason why this team has won a Stanley Cup, you know, in the last decade. There's a reason why Ovechkin is, you know, chasing down Wayne Gretzky's goal scoring record. There's a reason why they are, you know, in tops in the East right now and looking like a team that has a chance to truly contend for a Stanley Cup. You know, that is one of the things that you have to be paying attention to. But to bring it back, the lesson is that you have to match that intensity. If you're not there to match that intensity from the minute the puck drops the ice, it's going to end poorly for you. And Washington, from the minute the puck hit the ice, was the better team. The Sharks were not being rewarded at all in that game. There was an expression that I heard a while ago and I thought of yesterday while watching the first period. I don't know if Drew Remenda told it to me. I don't know if it was Jamie Baker, but the saying was something like, the neutral zone is far from neutral. It will aid the hardworking team and it will punish the team that is clearly deficient in terms of talent and drive and desire. And I'm not accusing the Sharks of lacking drive and desire yesterday, but you know, you could see the difference between the two teams. And every time the puck got into the neutral zone and the Sharks were having trouble with zone entry, there was an incredible amount of pushback and suddenly the puck was going the opposite direction and Washington was creating chances. And as you got deeper into that first period, it seemed like it was happening more and more where the Sharks had no possession and Washington was just coming wave after wave after wave. And that's one of those things that the Sharks need to figure out, is how to control the game if the game's getting out of hand from them. If the other team is suddenly, you know, really changing momentum and pushing it back upon them, how do you slow things down? How do you give yourself a shot? How do you give yourselves a chance at that moment to give yourself control or an opportunity to control the game? And the Sharks were unable to do that in the game overall. So that's got to be one of the things they take away from it, is trying to figure out what they can do to slow down and change the narrative of a game at any given point without a goal, without a fight, without a whatever it's going to be. Because the Sharks, not to call this a cheap trick, but you know, a lot of times this year they have looked to the fight. And that's a very simple answer to give yourself an opportunity. But a fight isn't always going to do it. And a fight has the potential to take an impactful player off the ice. And obviously you want to put a big hit on guys and you want to push back and you want to fight back, but you also have to be very realistic about what you can do in other capacities to slow down a game, to change how it's going in any given moment. And that's what the best teams in the NHL do. If things are going, you know, poor for them, if things are not going the way they want it to, they know how to change the narrative. Whether it's slowing down, whether it's just resting for a moment, possessing the puck behind the net, letting everybody get set a little bit on the next rush as you try to break out. Those are the things that other good teams can do. And sometimes it's just a little bit of cycling, getting the other team to defend a little bit, pinning them in their own end and, you know, moving the puck and making them just move around a bit, getting them a little bit tired. Those are the things you can do. Just give yourself a little bit of a respite at difficult points of the game. And that's not where the Sharks are as of now. And other teams, I've seen them do it to the Sharks this year. When the Sharks have had good pushes, other teams have said, okay, let's do what we want to do. Let's get back to our game plan. Let's do what we need to do in this instance. And that's something that Washington can do. You know, that's something that you've seen the Devils do and the Hurricanes do and the Panthers do. And, you know, we've watched, you know, a team like Vegas do it all year long. I mean, it's no surprise that they're capable of doing this. But that's where the Sharks need to figure out how to be for the future. And again, they are not there yet. At this point, the future is a figment of our imagination. There is only the here and now. And you love the continued development of Will Smith and Macklin Celebrini and Colin Graf and Shakir Mukhmudulin and Ostapchuk is here now, and you love what he can potentially bring to the ice. You like, in essence, what a lot of these guys can do. But now they need to figure out, going into this offseason and going into the next season, what they can do to all be better and more complete players and what they can do as a team in totality to give themselves a chance night in, night out, even when things are not going their way. To take back control of a game, to give themselves a chance at a reset, to stop the bleeding, to take another team out of their game or out of their success. These are the things the Sharks need to work at over the offseason, because you saw in that game yesterday, they did not have the ability to match at all what Washington was bringing. And I don't mean to pile on or anything like this, but when you go against a team like Chicago, it's very clear that there's a reason that they have only 4 more points than what San Jose has at this point in time. And when you go up against a team like Washington, there is a reason why they have 51 points more than San Jose. These are the harsh realities of where they are at this point in their rebuild. And before I get into some of the highlights here, I just wanted to point out one of the things that I saw in yesterday's game was Tom Wilson hustling back to beat an icing call against Mario Ferraro. And that mentality, like, that's the type of thing. It's like, that's why they're at the tops, right? Like, that's why they are tied for the points lead in the NHL right now. And that's why they are, you know, a team that everyone's looking at and saying, yep, they've got a good chance to once again this year make a deep run and try and give themselves a cup when all is said and done. Those are the efforts. Those are the things that you look at and you see that you can't ignore. And that's not to say the Sharks don't have hustle. We've seen them working hard all year long. But when you have that mentality, in addition to a highly talented team, that's what makes you great. That's what gives you the opportunity to win. And it was one of the things that just stuck out to me so clear as day as they were working their way to a 3-0 lead early in that game. All right, let's get some of the highlights from last night's game. The Caps scored 3 times in the first period, and it started out here.
A dump in from center to Foldy, tried to spin it to the slot, knocked back the other way by Washington. Wilson fires it off of a stick. Ovechkin has it. Lead pass, breakaway, Strome shoots, score! Just as quickly as that, Washington makes the play. The first key, the play from inside the zone, came out to center ice. The feed on the right, Ovechkin spotting the center lane drive by Strome, and Dylan Strome gets Ovechkin an assist today. Washington 1, the Sharks 0.
And I actually feel at this point this didn't deflate the Sharks too badly. They were still playing hard at this point, and they played hard through the entire game. But Washington was not completely in control. But I think a couple of minutes after this goal, you could just see things more and more going in favor of Washington, and the Sharks were just deflated a little bit more. It's like they weren't having success, and they became very aware of how the game was going to go. And then you get into the waning 5 minutes of this first period, and Washington just brought it. It felt like they were just going for the kill shot early in this game to take control and feel like they could coast from this point on.
Eller grabs it. He's got a lane to skate into the zone. He shoots. He put it to the short side. Save made. Score! The third chance, Protas knocks it in. Third time was the charm for the Capitals. Alexei Protas, who's certainly an imposing presence, got the third chance with a backhand and makes it 2-0 Washington.
And again, at this point, it feels like the ice is tilted towards the Sharks' net as Washington was just coming time and time again, and San Jose was having no success in getting shots on goal and getting puck possession and getting ozone time. They were just completely on their heels, and Washington, in my opinion, put it out of reach with this third goal.
Dubois centers. Here's Carlson, right side. Here's a chance. Score! Reddish gets it from Carlson and makes it 3-0. The Capitals have exploded here late in the first period with 1:05 to go. It is Taylor Reddish getting credit for his 7th of a season. That was a pretty setup. Washington 3, the Sharks 0.
And so Washington was in control at this point, and I thought the Sharks were not going to have much success getting their way back into the game just by their energy levels throughout the first period and just by how in control Washington looked at the game. Now, I acknowledge that anything could happen, but the way the second period played out, where Washington was just in control once again and San Jose did have a little bit of pushback but were not able to find the back of the net, it just showed you that Washington had a, you know, that was their goal. Take control of the game in the first period and then ride that lead to the end. But the Sharks did get their way back into it to make it somewhat competitive when Macklin Celebrini got a goal to make it a 3-1 game.
Now a near giveaway by the Capitals as Strome was checked there by Toffoli. But the Capitals bend and don't break on this play as they get Ovechkin back on the ice. Uh-oh. Alex gives it away. Celebrini in front. Shoot! Score! Ovechkin gives away the puck. Celebrini is wide open in front of the net. And the kid goes top shelf against Logan Thompson. And it is the Sharks on the board. They're down 3-1.
And great for Macklin Celebrini again. He continues to find success. He continues to find the back of the net. And it's incredibly fun to watch him have success at this young point of his career against even a team that is as good as Washington. But, you know, this is where you see why the Caps are such a lethal team, because what do they do right after this? Within 50 seconds time, I think 40 seconds time, actually, now that I'm looking at it, Van Riemsdyk finds the back of the net. And as soon as the Sharks have any pushback, the Caps immediately reestablish their 3-goal lead.
Nice play by Van Riemsdyk to elude the check. Walks into the corner. Centering attempt there.
No.
Is that in the net?
Oh, God.
It's in the net. It went off of Romanov, and the Capitals score on a play from behind the goal that went off of the goaltender Romanov's skate and in, and suddenly it's 4-1.
And that really sucked the life out of the building and sucked the life out of the Sharks, in my opinion. And Washington just immediately getting that goal, the quick answer, the quick response, saying, nope, we're not going to let you back into this game. That's A, something the Sharks need to work on is not conceding goals so quickly after they themselves score. But also, it tells you where Washington is right now. And then, obviously, it was not going to be a win for the San Jose Sharks on this day. And so about halfway through the third period, it's Alex Ovechkin in his pursuit of Wayne Gretzky's all-time goal-scoring record who sends the fans home with a little piece of history that they got to see one of the Grade 8's great goals in his pursuit of Gretzky.
Moves to the Sharks' blue line. A couple of weird deflections knocked aside by Romanov. Left it behind the net for Vlasic. Feeds up left side for Kostin. Loses on the check. Ovechkin put it off his stick. Back to Ovechkin. Tip score! The Grade 8 has tallied at SAP Center at San Jose with career goal number 887. 5-1 Washington, and the crowd shows its respect.
That would be your final, a very complete victory by Washington and a very telling game for where the Sharks are right now compared to one of the best teams in the NHL. Let's get into some of this post-game reaction before we run out of time. Ryan Warsofsky after last night's loss.
Yeah, not sure. Didn't like our start. Thought we got it going there a little bit, competing a little bit harder in the second. I think we had some good pushes in the third, actually, before we scored. And then the fourth goal was a backbreaker.
Especially because it came so close to the goal that Macklin Celebrini scored. It's like you give yourself a little bit of life, you inject a little bit of energy into the building, and then boom, it's gone. Just like that. Credit to Washington. They know how to manage games. More from Warsofsky on comparing his young, talented team to where Washington is.
Yeah, I thought they had their moments where you can see the future of what they're going to be. And I thought they had their moments where you saw the youngness and a mature hockey team on the other side. Big, heavy, physical, structured team where if you're not on every shift, you're in one. And we saw that too.
Warsofsky also talked about his team continuing to stand up for their young players with physicality.
Yeah, I mean, we've done that all year. It doesn't surprise me whatsoever with our group. And it has nothing to do with scrapping. It's, when we are off to a slow start, we usually find a way to, you know, get back on the rails there and start competing a little bit harder. So, obviously the first wasn't good enough. And the second and third, I thought we got it going a little bit more. But they're a really good hockey team over there. And we saw that firsthand tonight.
And these are the things the Sharks are going to need to take into the future. Standing up for one another, being there for your guy to go out and brawl with somebody after a hit. These are the big things that you need. And you've got a Desharnais to do stuff like that. Or an Ostapchuk stepping up and trying to show that it already means something to be part of this team. These are the things that you're looking for from these players. And I think it's exciting to see. But also, you put that against where they ultimately need to be, to where you just answer with goals. You answer with the ultimate ability to take over a game. And while you love the physicality, while you love the fighting, while you love the pushback, while you love the desire, like all these things, completely valid, but it is more impactful to score and take over a game. Washington sees the Sharks give a little bit of life to themselves early in the third with that 3-1 goal. And what does Washington do? Immediately answers. Like, that's where the Sharks used to be. I remember when the Sharks were on top of the world, they would take over a game and a team would push back and they immediately would answer. That's the way you have to do it in the National Hockey League. That's the way you have to find success. And that's ultimately going to be more effective than brawling and fighting and getting yourselves little emotional, you know, swells during the game. Those are great to be able to do, and you need to be able to do those, especially when you're not as talented as the opposition. But ultimately, the best answer to difficult moments in games is to score, is to put the puck in the back of the net. There is no better answer than that. And hopefully going forward, the Sharks will be able to do so with more consistency than they have been able to now. We've got a couple days off for the San Jose Sharks, which hopefully now will give them a little bit of a better ability to integrate some of these new players on the team, like an Ostapchuk in particular. They don't play again until Thursday against Carolina, which again is going to be another very big test for San Jose and very much a reality check. But hopefully they will have learned from this game and the way that they did not have the response to what Washington did early, because I guarantee that Carolina is going to bring that early in the game as well. All right, we are out of time. We'll have content for you through the week. I'm going to try and get some interviews. That's all coming up on the Sharks Audio Network. For the San Jose Sharks, I'm Ted Ramey, signing off.
This podcast can be found on demand anytime on the Sharks Plus SAP Center app. All music by Yogi Yend.